Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got two on the field. He's got two. 35, 30.
One of the end zone punt. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Golf Live. Our phone number 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Now, the good news is there seems to be a bit of a respite in the storm, at least for the time being. So we'll be safely inside the confines of the facility for the next hour to take your phone calls, to talk about Giants football, to answer your Twitter questions and comments. And then after we get done with this, we will be done for the day. And I do believe the Giants facility will be closing up early this afternoon. It will not be open tomorrow because of the threat of the blizzard, so there will be no show tomorrow. Again, that's Tuesday's show has been postponed, canceled actually, not postponed, but canceled because of the snowstorm, so there'll be no Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow. We do anticipate having the show back with you again on Wednesday at noon Eastern time for the usual one-hour program. Again, 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. But the good news is we don't have to worry about what's going on. I got all kinds of alerts coming in on my phone. I think we'll turn that off, Greg, don't you think? It's probably a better idea to do that. All kinds of weather alerts and everything else coming in electronically all over the place. And so we don't need to be distracted by that. Okay, we got a lot of things we could talk about. We could talk about the Pro Bowl last night. Odell Beckham, of course, had a pretty nice game. I don't think anybody would dispute that. We could talk about some of his comments about the fact that he had been played with some partially injured hamstrings during the course of the season, saying he's still not 100%. Quite frankly, I'd be scared to see what he's like 100% if he wasn't playing at 100% over the course of the second half of this past season. That would be something to see. We could obviously also talk about leftovers that you may have about the Steve Spagnuolo hiring. We could talk about free agency, the draft. Plenty of things to discuss here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Once again, our phone number is 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Now, let me just call up the box score for just a quick second from the game last night. Odell Beckham Jr. did a really, really, really solid job in this game. Handful of grabs. The 148-yarder was really, really sweet. I don't know how many of you folks, you know, tuned into the game. And quite frankly, I don't like the format of the new game. I like the AFC-NFC Pro Bowl of yesteryear because there was some competition involved. There was some pride for the conferences. And obviously, then you didn't have teammates who had to be on opposite sides of the ball. I mean, I thought it was just really, really weird. Was it the Packers? I can't remember now because I'm just so much not thinking about the game where I think one of their players had scored a touchdown. Was it Jordy Nelson and Clay Matthews was on defense and they're congratulating each other after Jordy Nelson's touchdown, even though they're on opposite teams? Come on. I mean, look, I'm a diehard NFL guy, okay? So obviously the Pro Bowl with its light hitting is going to be something that's a little bit less than appetizing anyway, but I could still somewhat get into it. Not if you're going to take all of the competition out of it and just make it a fantasy football game or a video game. I mean, you cannot have two Packers on opposite teams congratulating each other after a touchdown. No. This whole fantasy drafting with the Pro Bowl has got to go. Bob Glauber, I thought, did a good job on Newsday when he was talking about it on Twitter, saying, you know, it's hard enough to watch the AFC-NFC Pro Bowl. But when you have the conferences against each other, at least there's something. This is just impossible to watch. But I did watch, okay? I have to confess, I watched more out of curiosity as to how Beckham would be treated, how people would respond to him, What kind of things might he consider doing? And I guess if you listened to me last week, I also said, hey, I was a bit concerned, don't want to see him get hurt, and knew that in a showcase such as this, he probably would try to outdo himself, and he did with those field goals. Did you guys see the field goals he was kicking? What, do you have a 45-yarder, I think, that he drilled in the narrow uprights that they had? Which is another topic I want to talk about in just a bit, but I do believe we've got some phone callers. Mike from California. Oh, Mike, you're gonna tease me,
hey,
with
Paul.
Sunshine? How you doing?
Yeah, you know, I'm a misplaced Jerseyite, so
okay.
Yeah, love my Giants. Hey, and now that it's off season, I think we got a little minute to take a deep breath, and I thought I'd have a little fun with you guys because there's one question that's been bothering me for a while, which is, you know, how you guys work to when you talk about our players to call them by their names the way that they pronounce them. So there's two guys I want to ask you about.
Sure.
One of them is after our Redskins game, you know, had that great breakout game by a tight end. So he was interviewed, had a lot of mic time, and he probably said about four times, it's Donnell. It's Donnell. It's not Donnell. It's Donnell, right? But everybody still calls him Larry Donnell.
Yes.
And the other thing is now that we got Spags back, well, Spags is a great nickname. Same deal, though. When he was our coordinator last time, so I'm interviewed, and he said, hey, it's the Italian pronunciation. It's Spagnuolo. It's not Spagnuolo, right? So kind of wondering how you work and how these guys want to have their names pronounced.
Well, here's the thing. What we learned a long time ago in this business is that you ask the guy what is his real name and how does it get said. Then you say to them, okay, well, but how are you known by? Sometimes a guy is known by a different pronunciation than what it really is pronounced in the family unit. I'll give you a good example. You talk about Larry Donnell. Now, we know him as Larry Donnell because that's what Coach Coughlin calls him. Pat Hanlon, our VP of communications here with the Giants, calls him the same thing. His teammates call him the same thing. So while in Larry Donnell's household, he may be Larry Donnell or Larry Donnell or whatever else it is that it is in the family name, and I mean no disrespect to him, outsiders, at least around this facility, know him as Larry Donnell. And if that's what his boss and his coworkers are going to call him, then that's what we're going to call him as announcers. Unless he says otherwise. If he comes out and says flat out, no, this is my name, this is the way it has to be, well, then all of us will respect that, and we will call him whatever he wants to be called. But if his boss and his coworkers are going to call him Larry Donnell, then that's what we're going to call him. Same thing with Spags.
Sure.
And I totally understand what you're talking about. But everybody calls him Spags or Spagnuolo. That's what he's become known as through his contemporaries. And whatever his mom, his dad, or his siblings want to call him in the privacy of his own home, they're certainly entitled to do that. But unless he tells us otherwise, we're going to call him what his contemporaries call him around the facility. Does that answer your question?
It does, but let me throw you one curveball at that, and I think, you know, I respect what you guys do. I listen to you all every day. So,
well, trust me, we're not intentionally mispronouncing anybody's name, and we certainly don't want to call them something they don't want to be called.
Well, and that's why I look at you guys. You're our guys, right? And our guys, to me, when I say our guys, you know, I'm talking about the Giants guys. So I look at it as you guys have the opportunity to change, make the national media call these guys what they say they should be called. So when I see Larry Donnell say, my name's Donnell, it's Donnell, it's Donnell, you know, I think he is telling us, hey, that's what my real name is. And so for my preference, I say you guys, out of respect, you guys should be beating that drum for our players, and let's get their real names out. When you tell me that in the locker room they're still not pronouncing it that way, you know, I hear what you're saying. But
well, that's,
you know,
that's
what I was hoping to hear.
I don't have a problem with what you're saying. In fact, I respect what you're saying. But again, if Coach Coughlin and fellow teammates are going to call a player a certain way, well, then no matter what we say as hometown announcers, if Coach Coughlin's talking to Troy Aikman and Joe Buck and he says it's Larry Donnell and he says it in an interview that goes out over the air, Larry Donnell, and he calls him that in conversation, well, guess what? Aikman and Buck are going to call him Larry Donnell no matter what the Tino, Schmelt, Papa, or Banks say. You follow what I mean? It really comes down to, again, the players. So it's an interesting topic, and I appreciate the call because it's something I've never been asked before. But I will tell you, my guideline is I will call the player, A, what he says he wants to be called, if that occurs, or B, if he doesn't say anything, what do his contemporaries call him? And that's my way. And I'm speaking for myself now. I'm not speaking for any of the other guys on our crew or ladies, obviously. Anita Marks is also part of our team.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate the call. Boy, that was really interesting. Good way to start off the show. Appreciate it, Mike. Thank you so much, and enjoy the sun out in California. Max from the Bronx, I know you're not getting a whole lot of sun today. How are you?
Yeah, we're getting ready. How are you?
I'm okay, man.
You're my draft guy, so I just have a question for
you.
It's a little premature, I know. I haven't made any of my mock drafts yet, but I'm just going to ask you. Obviously, free agency affects it a lot. But,
sure does.
You know, where do you see, from maybe what you've heard, from how you evaluate the team, where do you see the Giants going? Because as I look, there's the big safety from Bama, Landon Collins.
Right.
There's a couple linebackers. Shane Ray and a guy from Clemson, and there's a couple offensive linemen. There's one from LSU, a guy from Iowa.
Well,
so where did you see the Giants going? As
here's
a draft expert.
I can give you a generic picture because it's really hard to pin it down now on the basis of what you said at the beginning of your call. With free agency coming up in March, you just don't know which of the Giants' biggest holes are going to be filled with a veteran. And that's going to determine, in some ways, where they go in the draft. Now, here's what I can tell you. I think it's pretty clear by the things that Tom Coughlin, Jerry Reese, and John Mara have said that they still believe their primary objective is to fortify the offensive line. I think the hints are pretty clear right there. They know they need to do that. Tom Coughlin specifically has said he also wants help on the defensive line. Now, again, we're going under the assumption that Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be here in 2015, whether it's part of a long-term extension or as part of a franchise tag situation. So let's assume he is here. You still don't know about what's going to happen with one of your other defensive ends in terms of Mathias Kiwanuka. Does not seem as though the odds are too good that he will be. So, yeah, you do need help there. You probably could use another beefy defensive tackle, depending upon what you think of Jay Bromley's progress. We didn't see him play much. You don't know what Colin Jenkins' situation is. He was banged up a little bit this year. I still think he's got another year left in him, but that's something that still needs to be determined as well. So the question becomes now, offensive line, defensive line, do you go free agency or draft? They definitely need another linebacker, for sure. And in all likelihood, they will need a safety. So I'm with you. Those are the four areas that the Giants have to accumulate some talent. I just don't believe that there's talent on the defensive line in free agency, at least as it stands now, because the top two guys on the defensive line on the free agent list would be Greg Hardy, who I don't think you want to touch, and JPP, who's going to probably wind up being here anyway. So I don't think you're going to go free agency there. I would prefer to go draft with the offensive lineman because, as I've tried to explain to people, when you draft an offensive lineman, you don't touch him for 10 years. You let him sit there. He's a stud, a Chris Snead type, a David Deal type. You draft a guy, you plug him in, he plays there for a decade, and you don't have to worry about the position. My problem, and it's not a huge problem because the Giants overcame it when they signed Kareem McKenzie many years ago when he was 27. If you sign a lineman of that age factor, you could still have him for many years. McKenzie was a Giant, I think, for 7 years. I just don't want to see them signing a veteran lineman who's already had so much wear and tear on his tires that in 3 or 4 years, you have to go out and get another one to replace him. That's why I prefer to build the offensive line through the draft as opposed through free agency. So
I agree. I think you saw how good they could be if they run the ball. And that's the key with the O-line as well.
Yeah. So that's my take on those two positions. Now, here's the thing I will tell you. The draft is supposed to be deeper in pass rushers and defensive linemen than it is along the offensive line, especially at tackle. So that's got to be weighed out. As far as the safety and the linebacker are concerned, well, I know what you're saying about the Bama guy. I don't know that he dominates games as much as I would like him to be picking him maybe at 9. But do I think the Giants need to get a safety? Yeah, we know that they do. I don't know what's going to be available in free agency quite yet because, again, there's a little bit of flux there. It does look like a defensive line, there's a dearth of players available. There may be some more players available in the secondary in free agency, but at the moment, geez, you know what? I should probably call up the preliminary list that I saw the other day. I just don't think there's much there.
I know the big guy
there.
From McCourty from New England.
Yeah.
So he looks like he might get the tag.
I think he probably will. And quite frankly, even if he doesn't, he's probably going to command a little too much money anyway. So that's an issue. In addition to that, the linebacking spot, that's a tough one. I think you got to go drafting with a linebacker. I'm not too keen. The Giants have picked up a lot of retread free agents at linebacker over the last several years, and most of them have not worked out that well. Although McLean seems to have been a good pickup. John Beeson in the trade was a pretty good pickup. I think you're probably better off drafting a backer if you can. But that's kind of my philosophy going into this. I know that doesn't help you in terms of giving you specific guys, but I don't think you can target specific guys right now at the end of January. I think all you could do is try to formulate your blueprint and your philosophy about, okay, this is what you need. This is where you think you might be able to go in terms of the direction of getting it. Then you start narrowing things down. Because remember, the free agent list is not complete. It's fluid. There are going to be guys who are going to get cut and who are going to be out there because of salary cap situations or what have you, which will change that list. And that's, you know, that's also part of this thing. So I'm sorry if you needed names today, but I'm not ready to give you names yet.
Okay.
All right? Appreciate the call.
All right. Stay
Thank
warm.
You very much. Stay well. Let's go back to the phones. Is it Baloo in Seattle? I believe we had you on this program sometime during the season. How are you?
No, I was not on the season, but I want to know
okay.
if you know the score or who do you want to win the Super Bowl?
Who do I want to win the Super Bowl?
Who do you think is going to win?
Well, I happen to think the Patriots are going to win. If you're asking me for my personal opinion, and it's not necessarily shared by anybody else, I like the Patriots to win the game. I am not a big Russell Wilson fan. He is, in my mind, a system quarterback. He is not as accurate enough, often enough, for my liking. And so I do believe the Patriots will win the game. I would put, you know, my faith, my faith and confidence in Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, especially having 2 weeks to prepare. You know, the only two Super Bowls that Brady and Belichick have lost were to Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning. Well, guess what? Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson are not Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning. So, yeah, I'm picking the Patriots to win the game. But that's just me.
Any scores?
Oh, I think the Patriots would win by probably more than a touchdown.
Well,
I'm not a big Seahawks guy. I'm really not. Look, they escaped with a little help from the Stripes, the Stripes Zebras, you know, to get this far. Let's face it, they don't really deserve to be here, but they're here.
Why did Steve Spagnuolo leave?
Well, he got a head coaching job with the St. Louis Rams after the 2008 season, and that was a very, very big promotion for him, and that's why he went. A lot of coaches aspire to become head coaches one day in the NFL. Some guys don't necessarily want that. Their goal is they want to become a coordinator, and that's as far as they want to go. Spagnuolo had some aspirations of taking a shot at a head job, and he got one. Okay?
One more thing. Who won the MVP for the Pro Bowl for Team Irvin?
Who was the MVP in the Pro Bowl?
J.J.
Watt was defensive, right? Because he had a turnover. Only had one tackle, I think, in the game, but he was involved in a turnover. Two? Okay, so two turnovers. Okay. And offensively, it was who? Stafford? Matt Stafford. So, in any event, those were the guys. I kind of watched the game because I was trying to figure out what was going on with Beckham. But truthfully,
I wasn't
paying a whole lot of attention to much of the other stuff. I got a bad taste in my mouth from this fantasy football Pro Bowl. Not good.
One more thing. Who did you think was going to be the defensive coordinator before the Spags was the defensive coordinator?
Well, once the job was opened up, I thought Spags was by far the best candidate. So,
and
that's what happened. Hey, appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513 is our phone number, or you can get us at hashtag Giants Chat. Nugs in, is that Minnesota? You're next on the program. Hey, you know all about blizzards and snow, don't you?
Yeah.
Bud Grant days, right, my friend?
Yeah, it's about time somebody else is getting the blizzard instead of us.
Oh, man. You sure I can't shovel some of this over to you?
Yeah. But, hey, that's a long way to shovel. It'd probably be melted by the time you got here.
Yeah, my back would be hurting pretty bad by then.
Yeah, I gotta say that I agree with you, man. I think that our best bet is to do the draft to get the O-line and to get some more edge rushers if we can on the D-line or whatever. But I would have to say I disagree with you as far as I don't see anything wrong with drafting a young linebacker. But the thing about young linebackers is that they – unless you're drafting like a pure pass rusher – it takes them so long to develop at the position we need. What we need is a middle linebacker who can basically be like an extension of Spags on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, I think you would agree with me that next year our offense should be more potent than it was this year. Our defense should be looking forward to having an offense that can put up 20, 25, 30 points a game.
You would hope so.
That being said... We don't want to be also in a shootout at the OK Corral every game. You know, we know those type of games are going to happen. So I'm looking at some guys who are in free agency, and I know you say it's too early, but hey, what else do we have to do? We're Giants fans.
I got you. Although I would say one thing to you before you go any further. You know, obviously the Giants, in a best-case scenario, would love to see John Beeson play for 16 games in 2015. I think that's risky, and they do have to have a contingency plan, but I see nothing wrong with going in saying, look, Beeson's going to be our number one plan. That's plan A. John Beeson is the starting middle linebacker for the season. Now the question is, what do you do about plan B or plan C? Because you need to have those just in case. Now, I think it's possible. Let me leave this with you before you go any further. I think it's possible that plan B could be Devon Kennard as the middle linebacker.
I agree with you.
Right?
Give Kennard
an opportunity in summer camp and throughout the course of the spring to see if he could potentially wrestle that middle linebacker backup spot away from McClain, and maybe McClain just stays on the strong side, and you just don't worry about that, and he becomes plan C for the middle spot. Okay, so we're on the same page. That means who's the starting weak side guy? That's where you got to draft if you're going to draft somebody, right?
I mean, I'm thinking like this, okay? All right, Devon Kennard, he's shown me that he's got the physical attributes to play the game.
Yes.
To an extent, I'm not sure. I still think the jury's out before we stamp him with the mental aspect.
Oh, I like him. I think he's very, very football astute. And his father, as you know, played a long time in this league. And those guys usually have a very high football IQ.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. His dad, Derek, was an offensive lineman with the Cardinals, with the Cowboys.
Okay.
I want to say he played for the Saints also. I think it was three teams. He played like a decade. Oh, yeah. So his father's been prepping him for the NFL since he was born.
Talk me off the ledge, okay?
Okay.
Talk me off the ledge, all right? So what you're saying is that if by some chance Devon Kennard was our starting middle linebacker, you're confident that with a whole, you know, off season and whatnot, that he would be able to make the calls and be the quarterback of our defense. I'm not just saying have the physical attributes to make the plays. I'm already giving him that.
Right.
But are you confident that he will be able to be mentally stable enough in the middle that when these quarterbacks are making checks, I want to see Antonio Pierce out there. I want to see him come back.
I know.
I know he's not coming back, but
I get you.
What I'm talking about.
You probably want Gary Reagents to come back too.
Make big checks. You know what I'm saying?
I get you. Here's the thing. You're going to have to understand that Kennard is only a second-year player, will still have some growing pains. But do I think he's got a chance to grasp it enough? Yes, I do. Yes,
okay.
I do.
So tell me how you feel about this. All right, let's pencil in, okay, let's pencil in John Beeson as our starter, okay? Let's pencil in Kennard on that one side, McClain on the other side. What would you think about bringing in maybe a Mauluga or a Brandon Spikes on like a 1 year, 2 year deal? You know what I mean? These guys have good health records as far as playing all 16 games or at least 13 or better, and every season they've been in the league. And having that be the fight at our middle linebacker, and let Kennard, because I like the way he was bringing that pressure from the outside. Dude looks like he's a beast. As somebody who we can throw at a quarterback, you know, when our D line's not getting enough pressure, then he can be that guy to step the pressure up. I'm just not confident with having him be our quarterback. I like to have a guy who's, like you said, in that 25, 26 year old range and has seen this league for a few years. And I'll just take your answer off the air, and thanks for taking my call.
Okay, Paul. Thank you so much. I know a little bit about Mauluga, and there's some baggage there with him that I don't think you're aware of, that I don't necessarily know I'd want to take on. And that's about all I'm going to say with that. You know, it's not just on the field. You have to also deal with the locker room and the off-the-field situations, which may or may not be exactly what you want. So I would not go for Mauluga. I'm looking at the list right now here. I did call up a preliminary list of free agent linebackers. Brian Orakpo, to me, is somebody who would probably intrigue me. I know that, you know, he's had injuries. And, again, when you sign veterans with injuries, you know, you kind of have to have a yellow flag with those contracts. But if Orakpo wants to stay in the division and, you know, he's willing to come at a very, very reasonable rate with something that's incentive-laden, which is based on performance and based on amount of availability during the season. I don't know. I think I might take a look at him in terms of the free agent linebackers who are out there. I'll have to study this a little bit more, but that would be a guy that would intrigue me. I'm looking for the outside. I'm not going for a middle linebacker. I'm sorry. I'm just not thinking that way because in my mind, I've got three guys who can do it. Beeson's my first choice. McClain and Kennard can battle it out to be the number two. And then the loser of that battle is the number three. So I think I've got three guys who have the potential to play middle linebacker for me. I don't have anybody right now. If Jaquan Williams does not come back, and I suspect in my heart of hearts that he won't, I don't have anybody right now on the weak side. So that's probably where I would go if I was going to sign a veteran free agent. All right, let's get back to the phone calls. 201-939-4513. Is it Dre? Next up in Atlanta. Hello, you're on the program. Hey, Dre. I guess we've already lost Dre. Why don't we go to Jeff from Rhode Island? You're going to be getting some snow too, Jeff. How are you?
Yeah, well, it's coming, buddy, and, you know, we got through the blizzard of 78 okay, so I'm not too concerned about it.
I got you. Good for you.
Yeah, I called the other day, and I was curious about some names that you throw out at playing linebacker in the game Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Jeff, you're not going
to
believe this.
You know, I didn't see a whole lot there as, you know, in terms of linebackers to get excited about.
No.
I didn't see anything from Hicks or the kid from Texas or I guess it's Luke from Cincinnati. The kid Orchard, Mutal looked pretty good. And Trail looked pretty good. That kid from, was it Norfolk State?
He would have to jump up from FCS, obviously, to make it, which is a bit of a jump. The Utah fella, Orchard, who to me is a late first-round, early second-round guy, look at his measurables, 6'3", 252. He's not an outside guy. He's going to be an inside guy.
I guess he's what's known as a tweener. So I don't know if we'd want to draft him or not. Because
I don't
those
think
guys
so.
Sometimes don't work out.
I'm not a big fan of those tweeners, and I just assume to look at him more as an inside guy. I mean, I agree with you. I didn't see much there. I was not particularly thrilled or excited by anything I saw in what I did see of that Senior Bowl. So. No, I'm not ecstatic right now about the linebacker prospects.
No, there wasn't too much there to get excited about. On another note, would you have any idea or give us an update on how the matriarch of the football Giants is doing?
Oh, Mrs. Mara. You know what? I don't have any information on that. I guess we could probably check on it and get you some more news on the next program. Again, we'll be off tomorrow, by the way. I don't know if you caught the early part of the show.
No, I didn't.
Because
know that,
of the the blizzard's coming.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this show done today. We're going to finish it out today, and then tomorrow we've already decided we will be canceling the program. The office is going to be closed because of the snow. We'll be back again on Wednesday, and hopefully we'll have more information for you on that, but I don't have anything updated to add, and so I'd rather just leave that one alone right now.
Okay.
But we wish you well,
buddy,
for sure. You know that.
You have a good day, okay?
Yes, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513 here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Jeff, thank you so much for raising that issue, because we always wish Mrs. Maurer all the best. She's a great lady, and we all enjoy talking to her all the time whenever we see her around. Alan from Washington, D.C., you are next on the program. Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Pleasure speaking with you today.
You too, sir.
I'm a big time Giants guy, and I'm very disappointed with the way we played this year. I know it had a lot to do with injuries, and when you have that many injuries, that many key guys on injury, it's very hard to do anything productive in the season. But I like the way we fought, all the way up until the end, and I think Kaufman deserves another shot. I know a lot of people may not necessarily agree with that, but he will be extended for until he decides to retire, and that's okay by me.
Well, I'm glad.
the guy, I guess we're all excited, and we saw him last night in the Pro Bowl, is Odell Beckham, and he's spectacular. I mean, we haven't seen anybody like him in a really long time. There's been, the Cruises and even Plexico and those kind of guys in the history and in our history, but nothing in recent memory like this guy. He's just taken over the NFL. I live in D.C., and so I get a lot of people here tuning in real closely with the Redskins and the Ravens, but whenever we talk football, they're like, he's the one guy that everybody's targeting right now. Can you give me an idea of what may happen on our wide receiving core for next year? I know Cruz is coming back from injury, and there's a couple guys, Ruben Randall and stuff like that, that, played okay. I wouldn't say they played great, but, they did okay. But let me know. I know that we need a lot of work in our offensive and defensive lines, but, as a football fan, especially nowadays, it's all about scoring points. And can you give me an idea of what's going to happen next year with our wide receivers?
Okay, well, Victor Cruz is rehabbing very, very well from his serious knee injury, and they're very hopeful that he'll be ready by the time the season starts. How much he plays during the preseason or during training camp, I think they're going to manage him along very slowly. But they do believe, all systems are go for him to be ready for the season. So you'll have Cruz, you will have Beckham, you will have Randall. Now, in addition to that, Corey Washington is going to be back and hopefully more mature in his second season and be able to compete for some time in that rotation. Jernigan and Ogletree are unrestricted free agents. among your wide receivers right now. So, you know, there is going to be room on the back end of that wide receiving depth chart for somebody to win a spot. Because, as you know, they'll usually take five. And so there's going to be room there. Now, is it going to be an undrafted free agent? Is it going to be maybe Maurice Harris? You know, remember Soup from last year and he hurt his knee? Maybe he winds up, you know, coming back and taking a spot.
Okay.
Who knows? I mean, that's, you know, he's coming off a serious leg injury himself. Or maybe the Giants draft somebody. And that guy becomes the last guy in the wide receiver depth chart. That's hard to say. But I think you know right now who your top three are going to be. And you'd like to believe that Washington will develop enough in his second year that he earns a spot maybe to be the fourth guy. You'd like to think so. You don't know. That's going to be on him now. He's going to have to prove that. But that's where it stands right now.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
Sure.
And if you had a guess, what we need to improve on the most and what our record may look like next year if we make that improvement. And I'll take that off the air. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Well, thank you. I do believe, as we said earlier during one of the other calls, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, and safety seem to be the four priorities. I'm still an offensive line guy, you know. I just think that you've got to fortify the offensive line. The power running game must return and must be consistent if the Giants are going to be able to get to where they want to go. Record-wise, I'm not even going there, and there's just no point. We do know who their opponents are going to be, but we don't know what the schedule will look like in terms of who you're playing when, and that's a big factor. You know, I mean, I laugh all the time when people say, well, how good you think they're going to be next year? Well, you got an idea, maybe talent-wise, somewhat of what you think, but you still have to project development of guys who you saw last year. You still have to deal with a changeover in the roster. You know, Lord only knows how many guys are going to truly be changed over on this team. And then the other thing that you have to take into account is when you look at the schedule, trust me, the schedule does make a difference. I know you know the guys who they're going to play, but when do you play them? When do you play them? How do the road trips get bumped? How do they get, sorted through? Oh, where are the Monday night games? Where is the Thursday night games? How many West Coast trips do you have when you're going to have to fly back and forth between this and that? Now, you know, these are all things that do have a factor. Believe me when I tell you that. All right, let's see here. Want to get some more calls, but my goodness, Twitter's blowing up, too. Let's see here. A couple of Twitters real, real fast. Jeffrey says he's a lifelong Giants fan, wants to know if he can have some free tickets. You know what, Jeff? I think a lot of people would like to have those, but those just don't exist. I'm sorry. Maybe you could ask Santa Claus for those. I'm obviously joking with you. Just trying to have a little fun, but they just don't exist. Okay, let's see. Who else do we have here? Let's see. No. Doesn't look like we have anything else that we could read to you right now, so we're going to go right back to the calls. Joe from Pennsylvania. You are next.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Great to talk to you.
You too.
First, I want to start off, I know you're saying offense first, but I'm trying to persuade you a little bit here. Do you think right now, just the way the teams are, which one's stronger, the offense or our defense, to carry us a little more, would you say, Paul?
Well, the offense is stronger right now. I mean, you know, there's going to have to be some fortification.
I agree, Paul. And I know Schwartz, I think he didn't even play. He could be a big thing, just him coming back. This is where I want to persuade you here a little bit. I look at Dallas with that running game. And now, didn't their offensive line coach go to Washington?
Okay.
So they're going to try to build that up, too. They're going to have a running game. I'm just looking here. If we had a force to put air in the middle again on defense with Hankins to stop that run, you know, throw Donald around the way Sue did in the game, and that this might make our team better. This is what I'm trying to say, because we got to stop that run first, and Force is there up the middle with Hankins. I think he's even going to be better. A Force there in the middle with him, a big stud that can push the pocket there. They can't double JPP. You think this might help the team a little bit more?
So you're talking about somebody like Danny Shelton out of Washington, who goes 6'2", 343.
Well, I'm not sure, but this my thing is whoever it is, I'm not sure. I'm not a big collegiate guy. I don't spend all this time on the tapes. I don't have your energy. I'd like to know what you take. Give it to our team or whatever it is, Paul. The energy you got is unbelievable. But I'm just trying to say there, that's what I'm saying. You're saying the offense is ahead of the defense. Swartz didn't even get in there. This is what I'm trying to say. Would our team possibly be better with an impact player up on that defensive line?
I'm with you in that I think they do need another defensive lineman. The Giants power hierarchy has said the same thing. But I suspect because there are so many good defensive linemen available in this draft, early in the second round is not a bad spot to take one.
Yeah,
quite
but are
honestly,
they going to be the impact? That's
I think there's a lot of quality guys here.
You think they would rate higher than the offensive linemen? Because there's only one or two offensive linemen. I agree. I just want to get the Force in there, whichever side it could be on.
Excuse me. The other thing you want to remember is I know that Bromley's not a plugger. But the Giants did draft Bromley in the third round last year out of Syracuse.
Nothing about him. That's all I'm saying.
I know. We don't know. Because all we know is what we saw in practice,
right,
and that's not
right.
enough. That's not enough for me. I need to see more. But I know they thought very highly of him, or they wouldn't have taken him in the third round. So that's a guy you want to keep in mind as someone who could help.
Hold on. Let me ask you this, then. Do you think the top, if we have our choice there, the top offensive lineman tackled, no matter who it is, or the top defensive lineman, who is it that's going to give us the impact? That's what I want to know.
Well, in my mind, you know where I'm going. Offensive tackle.
But if Dallas is blowing us up the middle and Washington's coming with that running game, you think we're going to be a stronger team?
But I also think that, again, you don't know what the best case scenario is going to be, but you'd like John Beeson in there for 16 games because John Beeson's going to do a lot to help the run defense.
Yeah, well, he did it the year before. To me, it's the defensive lineman that set the linebackers free.
I don't disagree.
So, look, in a
perfect world, I'm going to tell you what, my friend. In a perfect world, I'd bring back Keith Hamilton tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. after your art, you said your needs there. I was just wondering, what would you think we would need next there, Paul? A slash running back, another tight end, or a wide receiver? Which way would you go there if you have your pick after them first four you named there, the safety and everything?
Okay. I would preferably have a blocking tight end. I'm not dealing with the running backs because I like Williams, I like Jennings, and I think Darkwood's got a good chance to be the number three. I think he's got some tools. I'm interested to see what he can do. Wide receiver, I really believe the back end of the wide receiver depth chart, you can pick up guys a dime a dozen. Look, Victor Cruz was an undrafted rookie free agent. You can always find somebody.
I agree. Is Cox done, or do you think he'll come back yet?
Well, again, coming off a serious knee surgery, you just don't know. But the point is, blocking tight end, the Giants haven't had one of those really since Dan Campbell. So get me one of those.
Okay, Paul, I agree. Hey, great to talk with
you too.
With you, and just let me know what the hell you're taking.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye bye.
Appreciate it. Did I not say Sue Parris before? Did I? What did I say? Oh, I said Marquise. It's Marcus, obviously Marquise. I misspoke. It happens sometimes. I apologize to Mr. Soup. Russell from Kentucky. You're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? Hey, I was listening over here what you were saying. Yo, I think they're going to cut Beeson, man.
No.
I really think they're going to cut him. He's a cap casualty.
No. Trust me. If all systems are go, and to this point, I have no reason to believe otherwise, John Beeson's in the Giants' plans this season. And whatever they do with him financially in terms of the contract that he's got, I think that everybody is agreeable to try to work something out that's fair, even if there has to be an adjustment. But I believe that if the Giants were to have their best-case scenario in 2015, Beeson plays 16 games.
That's not going to – you know that's not going to – he hasn't played 16 games in like 3 years.
Which is why I've said for 2 weeks now on this show, you have to have a contingency plan. But I'm still –
I was overlooking this over the weekend, and I think Spagnuolo got a contingency plan because some of the Baltimore Ravens linebackers, like two of them are free agents, and I think they'll be cheap. They're young. I think they're going to sign one of them. It's a couple of Baltimore Ravens, even a quarterback. We talking about offense. Yeah, I agree. Offensive line, I agree. But we also need a young cornerback. Running back Jennings, man, he's been hurt, man. The Giants got a lot of thinking to do. They got to think about the future. They can't think about 2 to 3 years. They got to think about the next 4 to 7 years. Jennings, he's been hurt. You got to.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? The Giants are not really in a blow 'em up rebuilding mode right now. They still believe that the core of this team can do something in 2015. So I don't necessarily think you can look as far ahead as you're talking about. I think if you're the Jets, you look far ahead. You got a whole new administration, new coaching staff. You're looking for a 3-4 year plan. If you're the Giants, you want to make the playoffs this year. John Maris had enough of this impatience of watching this team not make the playoffs. You heard it in his voice. You don't need me to tell you that.
Yeah, I know. I still say number 9 pick, offensive line, don't care which one we get. Just get a good blocking offensive line. I'm going with what you're saying, blocking tight end. We learned that lesson last year. We see what the Cowboys did. We need offensive line. Defense, yeah. If you get a good offensive line, the defense won't be out in the field that much. So it won't have that many injuries. I just noticed that.
Now, I'm looking at the Ravens roster and their free agents for this season at linebacker. McPhee is a free agent. Okay, he is a free agent. I'll have to do some study on him, in terms of what he's got to offer. But I'm not seeing anything else. Who else is a free agent on your list? I'm looking here on the list that I've seen.
It was a list I looked at, and it was like 3 cornerbacks that was free agents. And
no, you said linebacker.
You still happened last year. I could have. Cornerbacks went out.
I thought you said linebacker, though.
Yeah, it said it was like another. I don't know what list I was looking at. It said 2 linebackers were free agents. Maybe it was unrestricted. And I was looking at them like, oh wow, I didn't know that.
All I see, I'm looking at Spot Rack.
I'll call you up next time and tell you. But I was looking over the weekend. I was like, oh, we got linebacker, and so like 3 cornerbacks and a safety that were free agents for the Baltimore Ravens. And I was like, hey, you never know.
Right.
Spags might grab 2 of those guys up and say, hey, we solidify the spot.
I appreciate it. We'll do some study on this stuff and talk again. Thank you.
All
yeah,
right.
Pernell McPhee is the only linebacker free agent from the Ravens that I can see right now on the list. I'm looking at Spot Rack, which is one of your better contract websites. Again, nothing's ever official. We understand that. I probably should call up the NFLPA site, but we're kind of pressed for time right now. I don't want to get into that at the moment. Ernest from Connecticut. Hello, you're next on the program.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Oh, very good. How are you?
I was sitting there listening. Do you think that it would there's a couple of questions that I want to ask. Do you think that it would be a look right now with that new offensive tackle that we got last year? What's his name again? I can't think of the first draft pick that we got. Not the first, but the second.
The second round pick from last year was the guy who's going to wind up being the center, Weston Richburg.
The center, Richburg. That's what I'm talking about.
From Colorado State.
Right. Now he wasn't really that good because he was playing out of his position. I grant that he is a rookie. I will grant that.
Sure.
But he has a lot of learning to do. Okay.
He's going to be really good.
He's going to be good. And then we have Pugh, who's going in his third year.
Right.
Okay. But do you think that it's safe right now, the way the offensive line is, to go out and spend a high draft and pick a high draft choice on another rookie offensive line where you would have 3 rookies offensive linemen where Whitburn hasn't really matured yet?
But this is good. You want to have three young starting offensive linemen on your core because now you can just plug in the other spots. That's good. That's exactly what you want. That's like for years when the Giants had David Deal and Chris Snee both as a big part of their offensive line. Now you plug in a guy who was not that old in Kareem McKenzie. You plugged in Sean O'Hara, who was not that old also. That's the kind of thing you want to be able to do. You want at least three of your five offensive linemen to be young studs who are going to be the foundation of what you do for years to come. So if you're telling me you think that's a problem, I totally disagree. I'm on the other side of that fence.
Well, don't you think that because they want to win now, because of all the free agents that they bought that they signed last year, don't you think that you could draft one? But I think defenses win championships, and I think that we should. I feel that we should get a better defensive end, a defensive tackle, like what the gentleman was saying, and then get an experienced defensive end, and to go along with those rookies to kind of help them along the way. And, you know, you can then, but I don't think you should go right off the bat, you know, in your first round and get an offensive lineman.
Well, here's the thing. Whether or not you want to draft one in the first round or the second round or you want to go free agency, that's kind of like apples and oranges. When you go to the supermarket, I think we all agree the Giants need X number of pieces of fruit in their fruit basket by the time they leave the store. Now, we could sit here all day and just determine what round should they take the guy in or should they sign him as a free agent. I don't know that's as important right now as understanding where they do need help. If we can agree on that, I think that's enough right now. I don't necessarily know that, given the fact that the free agency list is still a little bit fluid, and given the fact that we haven't even gone through the NFL combines yet, I don't know that we have to pin down how we're going to get these pieces of fruit to fill up the basket yet.
Well, I just think true. But I just feel that we need to go defense first. I think that defensive line really needs a lot of work. And I just feel that that's the biggest need as far as that team has right now. If you have because I believe that offensive line is going to be pretty good this year because you're going to be getting back what's the, you know, the guy that we got from Kansas City. He'll be back
Schwartz.
With, you know, injury.
Well, again, coming off a foot injury.
He'll help Beattie on that left side, which I wish they could get rid of him. But anyway, that's another thing. But I think that will help him out. You have Rich Byrne in as the center. Pugh, they're probably going to move him inside. I don't know. And then you get an experience down the outside, like I said. But the defensive line, you have who do you have? I mean, you have Hankins, you have JPP, and then you have people who are not really tested, like what you were saying.
Well, you have DeMondre Moore. You have Kerry Wynn. You hope both of those young players will continue to develop. You know, you got Marcus Kuhn on the inside as well. There's a bunch of guys there. Here's the only thing I would say, and thank you very, very much for your call. Here's the only thing that I would say, okay? If the Giants do not get at least two pieces, in my mind, to help upgrade this offensive line, and I'm not necessarily just talking about starters. I think they need at least one more starter. Whether or not you want to debate that they need two, I don't know. But they need at least one more starter. And then they got to have at least one or two more guys to upgrade in terms of depth. They've got to get more offensive linemen. If they do not upgrade the entire offensive line unit, and I'm talking about all eight or nine guys in the room now, if they don't upgrade that unit, you're going to see more of the same problems, inconsistencies with that line, especially in the power run game, and that is not going to help this team at all. Not at all. Because you know what? As much as I've always believed from years and years ago and all the years I've been around that defenses do win championships, I also believe in an old-school power running game. And if you can control the ball, and the Dallas Cowboys were the best example of it this year, because you know what? If the Dallas Cowboys did not have that power running game, they wouldn't have come anywhere near to even sniff in the playoffs. But because of what DeMarco Murray was able to do behind that power running game, it made Tony Romo a better quarterback, and it made a very suspect defense good enough to help get them into the playoffs. It was all based off the power running game. That's where it all started. That's just that simple. And I'm not bending off of that. I'm sorry, but I'm not. Is it Marco from Connecticut? You're next. Hello.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you today.
You too.
When I was calling you up, I was ready to talk to you about the safety position, Antrell role. I was listening to the conversation you had with Sam Madison last week. And now I'm going to put that on hold. Maybe later on in the week I could touch base with you about that. You just got me so pumped up about this offensive line that I just shifted my train of thought. I'm with you. I'm with you. Get the best. I don't care if it looks like on paper that we have five starting offensive linemen. Get more and get the best five out there, and we'll figure out. Let Coach Flaherty figure it out in training camp. Coach Coughlin figure it out. Who's going to start where Justin Pugh belongs, where Weston Richburg belongs. When I was just listening to you, I'm thinking about this defensive line. We do need a defensive tackle. We have to stop the run. Get someone in there with Hankins. When I was just listening to you, yesterday they were showing these Super Bowl highlights, and I was watching the 2007 Super Bowl. They just had this 30-minute highlight video of the Super Bowl on the NFL Network. I wanted to ask you this. That 2007, 2008, those Spags teams that were here, the defensive line was really just, they were punishing, and the offensive line was doing a great job.
They were terrific.
Terrific. I wanted to ask you, if you could spend a couple of minutes on this. Beckham, when I was watching Plaxico in that 2007 run, and then going even before that, the year before that, 2006, he was really coming on as he was in his prime. What do you think about Beckham and Plaxico? Is there a comparison? Do you think Beckham has exceeded the level that we saw? Has Beckham in his first year exceeded the level that we saw Plaxico on in his prime? Or is that a little too much to be given? Because
Can't do it.
I know it was a while back, but he really was just an animal of a wide receiver.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. For the 3 or 4 years that Burris was able to give the Giants what he gave them, he was about as potent a weapon as the Giants have ever had in the passing game. And I have great respect for Amani Toomer. And the reason why Amani is the most prolific wide receiver in Giants history is because of his longevity. Not only was he a great player, but he did it over an extended period of time. And Plaxico Burris just did not do that. So because it was only a short Giants lifespan, Burris, of course, getting here late after free agency from the Pittsburgh Steelers, there was no way he was ever going to have the lifespan that Amani Toomer had. But for the short time that Burris was able to produce for the Giants, he was about as dynamic, as productive, as athletic, as dangerous as any wide receiver this franchise has ever had. And again, great respect to Homer Jones. I don't want to disrespect him in any way, but Burris was something special. Certainly, in terms of my lifetime, I've only covered the Giants now for 32 seasons, so I didn't cover Homer Jones. But certainly the Giants receivers that I've covered, he was, during that short period of time, the most potent wide receiver weapon the Giants have had. Beckham, a different style. Again, we're talking before, we were saying apples and oranges. He's like a pear. And Burris was an apple. They're different. They're different in a lot of ways. They are not the same, But you just have to go back to the playoff game against Green Bay and see what Burris did that day on the frozen tundra. That's all you need to know.
Of course, I remember. But here's a better question for you. If you're a defensive coordinator, who's keeping you up at night? Plaxico Burris in 2006, 2007, or Odell Beckham 2014 going forward?
The 2007 Plaxico Burris, I'm sorry. I have so much admiration for that. I'm not moving off of that. And I appreciate Odell Beckham Jr. I really do. He's got more to prove to me over the course of the next 3, 4, 5 years before I put him on that pedestal. I can't. I cannot take Plexico Burress off that pedestal. What he did in 2007 for a championship team is something that I cannot forget.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I guess it's very important to remember, especially in these couple of years that we've really struggled here with the Giants. You really have to go back to those championship teams and how special they were. And Burress, that was a special performance. You're right, with Green Bay and then what he did in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for the call. We got two more calls. I want to get these in. I know we're right up against it, but I want to get these calls in. Mike, are you calling from McGuire Air Force Base? Is that what I see on my screen?
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, thank you for your service. God bless you, and I very much appreciate you calling in today.
Not a problem. Well, thanks for taking my call, sir. There are a couple things I wanted to touch on. Just listening to the gentleman prior, I can't understand where they can make a comparison between Burress and Beckham.
They're not the same at all.
Not at all. One was what? Burress was 6'5"?
Yeah. With a wingspan the size of the Empire State Building.
It's ridiculous. One is more, to me, seem more polished route runner than the other, a little bit more physical.
Yeah.
But you can't, like you said, apples and oranges with that one.
You know, I'm going to give you a superhero analogy here. Beckham is Spider-Man for his flypaper hands, okay?
Yes.
And Burress was Captain Fantastic from the Fantastic Four, Reed Richards, because he had the incredible wingspan. How
yes,
about that?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
All right.
Yes, he did. I think when it comes to the running game, I'm the same way with you. That old school hard nosed running style. I do believe that Wilson, you know, unfortunately, that was a setback.
What are you gonna do?
He was that speed that we needed. And we don't have that speed as, you know, the 1-2 punch.
Yeah, he'd been very cool in this offense in particular, with the one that McAdoo's running.
Yes. I also wanted to touch on, I heard you say about with Arakpo. You really think Arakpo is somebody that could help out?
I think because of his pass rushing skills, and the Giants definitely could use a pass rusher, and they need help at weak side right now, he would intrigue me. I'm not saying I would sign him for sure, and of course, you know, you got numbers to deal with and you have injury questions to deal with, but he'd be somebody I would probably at least investigate, because I don't necessarily know that there's going to be that much else out there on the free agent list, and I'm not so sure that there are that many good pass-rushing outside linebackers in the draft either.
Okay.
At least Arakpo's got some kind of track record. He's done it before.
But wouldn't signing Arakpo put us in a different position, because Arakpo is a 3-4. I mean, in a 4-3, he will go to DN.
Yeah,
he's not a coverage kind of linebacker. We run a 4-3.
I understand that, and that's why I'm saying there'd be things I'd have to consider. I'm intrigued by him. I would think I would take a look at him. I did not say I would sign him.
Okay.
But I was looking at the list, and I wasn't real thrilled with the list.
I got you on that. I looked at it myself.
Mike, I got to run. I got to run because I have one more guy I want to squeak in.
I got you. Thanks for taking my call, sir.
Thank you, Mike.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Be safe. Rolando from Queens, you're last on the program. I only have a minute.
Okay, Paulie. How you doing, Paulie D? What's
good.
Going on, bro?
How are you?
Well, good. Listening to you and hearing what you have to say, and one of the names I want to throw out there to you in terms of looking under the rock kind of thing is Sean Weatherspoon from the Atlanta Falcons. For the last couple of years, he's been injured, but he hasn't played enough. And
terrific
since
player.
Is going through a change, that would be something to look into in terms of an outside linebacker.
Outstanding player, but you're right, coming off of injury situations. And, again, you'd have to check him medically to see what he's like. When he was coming out of school, I was really, really high on him. Thought he'd be a guy the Giants should definitely take a look at. Thought that we'd be a good fit for the Giants, but as it is, let's see here. He is an unrestricted free agent, and he's 27, but again, tremendous injury concerns.
We're talking trying to get cheap. I want to touch on something else that you touched on.
Real quick.
Prior to last year, we didn't know Hankins. The same thing with Bromley. We don't know what we have until we're able to play.
Right.
And there was enough defensive tackle there out in the Senior Bowl that intrigued me in terms of Carl Davis, Danny Shelton, and in terms of offensive linemen, you have maybe four free agents. an offensive lineman, but the guy that intrigues me the most is that guy, Clint Bolden from Cincinnati. I think he can come inexpensively, but he could fit right in at left guard. And I'll talk to you real soon. Get home safe, bro. Bye.
Thank you so much. You too. Appreciate it. Folks, we've gone a little bit over time here. I apologize for that, but we did want to squeak in as many calls as we could because we had a lot of them. I guess a lot of people are preparing for that blizzard and dialing up their telephones. Big Blue Kickoff Live will not be on tomorrow because of the blizzard. The Giants' offices will be closed, but the program comes back your way, as it usually does, on Wednesday, every weekday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 201-939-4513. Write it down. Until next time, I'm Paul Dottino saying so long, everybody.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.